The high-pitched warbling of chickadees and sparrows contrasted sharply with the low, gurgling moans of the skulls. The monsters lumbered along the highway between the charred husks of vans and SUVs, bumping into each other and the cars lethargically, then moving on like the slowest and most dangerous game of pinball the world had ever seen. Each skull showed signs of prolonged Oni agent exposure, including the crooked talons that clicked against the asphalt and bony spikes jutting from their vertebrae. Bone plates rustled, echoing in the air like the sounds of an undead army going to war. The creature's slow, shuffling movements were due to starvation, a sure sign all the easy prey had already succumbed to their tearing claws and gleaming fangs. But that didn't make them any less dangerous. Amid the monsters lurked a single Goliath, crunching over smaller skulls that dared to get in its way. Its shadow rolled across the highway like a mountain blotting out the sun, and every step it took rattled the shards of broken glass and singed metal scattered about the road. A skull wearing the remains of a tattered Navy business suit, the standard uniform of Washington politicos and 9-to-5 office slaves alike, bumped into the Goliath's leg, and the giant swatted it as a man might smack a mosquito. The monster's enormous tree trunk-sized arm came down hard on the suited skull, and the twisted creature blew apart in a spray of broken bone and blood. The other skulls gave no indication they saw, much less cared about, the aggressive display. They marched on, directionless, hungry, deadly. And through the whole show, Frank Battaglia, lost pilot of the Huntress, watched from his position atop a hill, hidden behind a thicket of spruce and birch. He dared not even move to take a sip from his canteen. The slightest noise could draw the starving monsters to him like a dinner bell. In the dreams of his youth, he'd longed to play drums in a hair metal band. Back then, he had fantasized about running from hordes of adoring groupies. He'd never thought that one day he might be running from hordes of mutants with a far less lascivious hunger on their minds. His hand wrapped around the cool metal of the M1911 pistol tucked into his waistband. Instinct told him to pull it out and go through the methodical ritual of checking the chamber and magazine, but he already knew what he would find. 7 rounds in the magazine, 1 in the chamber. 8 bullets against an army of skulls.
"Sorry to disappoint, Space Cadets," Frank thought, "but today's concert is canceled on account of some asshole fans that tried to maul the drummer. Keep your hands and teeth off the merchandise."
He needed to get over that highway, under it, past it, whatever. But the entire length of the road he'd paralleled so far had been crawling with skulls. He shifted his weight as slowly as humanly possible and shrank back into the shadows of the trees. Maybe he could just stay here. If he closed his eyes, the invitingly sweet scent of the sap and the birds' persistent song reminded him of hiking through the woods as a kid. He could almost pretend that the low gurgling and growls of the skulls was the churning of a distant brook, splashing across polished stones. Ah, hell, who was he kidding? This was the goddamned apocalypse. There was no pretending, no daydreaming. Life was a constant fucking nightmare. It was like being trapped in a never-ending horror film. And this was the worst fucking movie he'd ever seen. Strangely, it could also be pretty damn boring. Ever since he'd escaped that hellish underground prison outside Pentagon City, he had hiked westward alone. In his head, he still heard the voices calling desperately from the other cells, asking to be set free as the skulls tore apart the guards. The military brass had thought they were safe there, plotting their war against the monsters from their concrete fortress. They'd been killed along with everyone else. But Frank knew better than to be fooled by the illusion of safety. He'd been in the field long enough to know nowhere was safe, not on land, not even at sea. Those damn monsters were more stubborn than a teething 2-year-old being told he couldn't watch the Teletubbies.